So we've talked about the two kinds of righteousness, a righteousness coram Deo before God and a righteousness coram mundo before the world. And I made the point that both kinds of righteousness are important. Both are critically vital to the life of the Christian. And we can see this kind of played out when we start thinking about how this would work. So when it comes to where I stand before God, and someone asked the question, how does God think about me? Well, obviously we're talking about passive righteousness. We're talking about coram Deo righteousness. And there we would lay out the realities of law and gospel. We would talk about the reality of sin that separates us from God, but Christ coming and dealing with that sin and making us right with God and returning us back to a right relationship with the Father. This is the passive righteousness that comes to us through Christ. Good news indeed. And then someone comes and says, I need some help figuring out what I'm supposed to do in raising my children. Now, I would argue this has nothing to do with passive righteousness. And, you know, to say to them, you know, God forgives you for your failures and your mistakes as a parent, and he loves you, and he's given you all you need to live a good life. Just go and enjoy his forgiveness. I would argue that is a totally inadequate and unacceptable response, because it's ignoring entirely the reality of our act of righteousness, or righteousness before the world. And that righteousness matters. It's important. We need to give some specific direction to what's going on with that kind of righteousness. And God's Word does. God's Word talks all the time about the righteousness that we have before the world, our act of righteousness. And so both of these kinds of righteousness matter then in their particular places. When I'm dealing with how I live in the world, with my responsibilities in the world, I'm really concerned with active righteousness. And when I'm thinking about my standing before God, I'm really thinking about passive righteousness. And it's important that we keep the distinctions. It's easy to kind of blur them and get mixed up on how these kind of interrelate, and you can come up with some wrong ideas about all this sort of stuff. More on that to come later. But right now, I want you to think about how the two of these interrelate. And the way they interrelate is essentially inside you, the Christian. The nexus between the vertical relationship and the horizontal relationship is precisely in the believer, because the believer lives in both areas at once. You live as a Christian, righteous before God, and you live as a Christian, actively pursuing righteousness in your relationships in this world. You're doing both all the time. It's not one or the other. It's not a back and forth. The simul justus et peccator, the beautiful Latin phrase for at once justified and sinner, or at once saint and sinner, as we sometimes will put it, really does capture this reality. As the Christian, you are righteous before God. The passive righteousness has happened. It's reality. You have God's forgiveness. You're living in the delight of his love. And you have the responsibility of living in the world. And when you're living in the world, you're never quite right. Never quite perfect. Always falling short. And you know that from your relationships. You know that from the reality of how hard you might try to do things and how you fall short. Never quite being what you should be, what you know you should be, what your neighbor wants you to be, what your spouse needs you to be. It just never quite measure up. Well, that's the reality. You live in both things at once. And even as you're living broken, not quite measuring up, you're fully righteous before God, because your passive righteousness is still intact. So even as I'm striving to become better at being a father, better at being a husband, better at being a professor, better at doing whatever I've been given to do, and I'm striving to do this, doing better some days than others, always falling short of the goal of the perfection, even while I'm doing that, I'm still righteous before God. I still have his full and complete forgiveness. I still have his complete declaration of innocence and of righteousness before him. So I'm not kind of going back and forth between the different realms or the different areas of righteousness. I'm not moving from one to the other. I'm living in both all the time. So even as I am making a mistake or sinning, in God's eyes, I'm still his forgiven child. And even as I am righteous before God and freed from all responsibility of trying to earn my salvation, I still have responsibilities in this world to be serving those around me and doing what God has given me to do. So me, the Christian, I'm where these two things come together. Trying to relate them any more beyond that is always very dangerous. In fact, you can't. The two have to be kept quite distinct, because the realities and, the, in a sense, the rules before God and the realities and the rules before man are entirely different. Two different things going on here altogether. My good works count nothing before God. In fact, my good works before God are negative, harmful, hurtful, because they actually give me the sense of self-pride and of accomplishment and of God owing me, you know, the whole theologian of glory kind of thing. But in the world, it's quite the opposite. There, my good works are important. There, my good works do make a difference. There, my good works matter very much. My neighbor's counting on me to do those good works. I'll float one illustration here for you. Imagine the young seminary student, MDiv, eager to become a pastor, who comes to St. Louis with his new wife, and they get settled into their apartment in the summer, and he's just so eager to get busy with his studies, and he gets all caught up in his Greek or whatever he's taking, and he's busy with this important stuff. And he and his wife have some, you know, agreements worked out between them, and his one responsibility with his wife is that his job is to make sure the garbage gets out to the road for the weekly garbage pickup. And he's got a habit of kind of forgetting, but he does his best to try to remember. Well, one Monday, the garbage truck goes rumbling down the road, and the wife looks out at the road, and the garbage can's not there, and the truck has already passed. And so she goes to her husband and says, "What's going on here? Why didn't you get the garbage can out to the road?" Well, the husband has learned a little theology, and so he looks at his wife and he says, "Oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that, honey, but you know, just I'm forgiven, and it's okay. God forgives me, and I'm righteous before God, so it's no big deal." Now, I rather suspect that the wife is not going to say, "You're right, honey. You're forgiven, and it's no big deal, because before God, you have his full righteousness. It doesn't matter." What she's going to say is, "I don't care if you're righteous before God or not. You have a responsibility to me to take care of your end of things. Get your job done. I don't care how forgiven you are. I don't care what God says about you. What I care is that you're doing what you promised you would do." She's right. She's exactly right, because he has this responsibility. It is his task to be fulfilling his righteousness coram mundo, coram hominibus, before his wife in this case. And his standing before God is irrelevant to his responsibilities to fulfill this. And incidentally, who has given him this responsibility? In fact, as we know, the truth is God has. He's responsible from God to God to fulfill his responsibilities in the world, coram mundo. So both kinds of righteousness are from God, and God is interested in both kinds of righteousness. In fact, that's why we can even say that one who is doing what God has given him to do is, in some sense, God-pleasing. And yet, the righteousness that I do in the world, or coram mundo, horizontally, does not affect or increase or enhance my salvation or my standing with God. So you have the reality then, you can have a very wonderful philanthropist who is doing all these wonderful things for the world and for people simply because he enjoys the praise, or he enjoys the attention, or he just likes the good feeling it gives him, but he has no interest in God, and in fact he thinks he's in good with God because God must owe him. Well, the reality is he is not in a right relationship with God, because he is not in Christ. He's not received the grace of God. And the reality is he's still doing good things. Are these good things? Well, by the standards of the world, yes. From a theological standpoint, technically, no, but that's a discussion we'll have in systematics later on. But for now, we would say coram mundo, good thing. Coram Deo, bad thing. So the reality is this guy is good and damned, both at once. That's just the truth of it. So we live then in this nexus, always striving to be what God has given me to be, because it is God-pleasing and God wants this from me, simply what I do as his creature, and those around me benefit, and at the same time, simply receiving from him the grace that he gives and delighting in his forgiveness, knowing I do nothing to get it. They're two different realms, two different ways of functioning altogether, but they're both true, and both must be embraced by the Christian who is striving to live faithfully to what God has given us.